Welcome to The Connection, where humans and aliens converse, and where all the dots are connected. I'm Nancy of Zeta Talk, an emissary for aliens from Zeta Reticuli. They are here to warn of great cataclysms on Earth and advise how to survive this. The pending pole shift is not the end. Man will make his next leap forward to live a better time when aliens will live among us. What is the point of passage? The point where Planet X passes at its closest point to Planet Earth. The sling orbit of Planet X brings it in an almost straight line past the Sun in its 3,657-year periodic passage. This sling orbit is caused by the orbit of Planet X going around two suns, our Sun and a dark, unlit binary twin. Most suns are part of a binary pair, and scientists have recently acknowledged that the discovery of Sedna and Zena, two planetoids far out beyond Pluto, indicate our Sun is part of a binary pairing. Planet X zooms toward the Sun in its sling orbit, then puts on the brakes due to the gravity repulsion force, which is a backwash of gravity particles. This occurred in 2003 when Planet X arrived in the inner solar system. Coming in from the direction of Orion, it was seen as a dramatic second sun, as sunlight reflected off the dust cloud shrouding Planet X and bounced back toward Earth. The Zetas describe the sling orbit as both composed of great speed as Planet X approaches one of its suns, and then a slow creep past that sun. I quote from Zeta Talk, Conflict, written November 2001. As in many approach-repulsion dynamics in nature, the passage of Planet X through the inner solar system has many factors at play at once. In psychology, there are approach-approach conflicts where an individual is pulled in two directions at once, both equally attractive, and then become paralyzed. There are likewise avoidance-avoidance conflicts where an individual is caught between two situations he would like to avoid, and likewise becomes paralyzed. A third conflict is approach avoidance, where an individual is both attracted to approach and trying to avoid a situation, and thus dithers or moves slowly in a direction. Planet X is caught not because of psychology, but because of gravitational and magnetic aspects in an approach avoidance conflict with the Sun. Thus, when Planet X rides midway between its two foci, the Sun and its dead twin, some 18.74 Sun-Pluto distances away, it is in an approach-approach situation and barely moves during the majority of its 3,657 years. When it's within a few years of passage of one of its foci, breaking from its midpoint position and picking up speed in an approach to one of these two suns, it increasingly becomes a non-conflict situation, approach only, as Planet X is pulled by the gravity of the Sun it is closest to, yet far enough away from that Sun that a repulsion force has not yet come into play. It picks up speed, this speed adding momentum, in a virtual straight-line approach. When Planet X nears one of its foci, the repulsion force comes into play. There are other factors that influence close contact between large bodies, but the repulsion force is dominant. Planet X slows, increasingly, as what we have described as a fire hose of gravity particles from both the Sun and Planet X are pointed at each other, butting into each other and pushing the gravity giants away from each other. This is a minor factor at first, reducing the increasing speed of approach. Then it reaches the point where the approach is actually diminishing, losing momentum. Its angle of approach is from south to north, the dictates of inertia and momentum stating it would continue in this direction. It seems almost to hover in the sky as it crosses between the Earth and the Sun, moving slowly as the horrified populace watches. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Where Planet X used to sling through in the asteroid belt, accounting for all the broken pieces there, it now passes close to the Sun, closer to the Sun than the planet Venus. Planet X approaches the solar system from a point 11 degrees below the ecliptic, the line going through the sun's middle like the brim of a hat, where all the planets in the solar system line up in a manner similar to the rings around Saturn. But due to the heavy particle flow in the ecliptic, particles going into the sun as well as outbound, like the solar wind, Planet X drops below the ecliptic to approach passage of the sun at a 32-degree angle. It is thus only the point of passage where Planet X actually is at the ecliptic, where the orbits of Venus and the Earth reside. This point of passage is neither in the orbit of Venus or the Earth. But even though below the ecliptic and out of the lanes Earth and Venus use during their orbits, its gravitational influence creates a repulsion force that stopped both Earth and Venus in their tracks, stopped them in their orbits. For the Earth, this happened on December 25, 2003, and for Venus the following summer. In that Planet X has a retrograde orbit, moving clockwise around the Sun, this is in opposition to the direction all the other planets take, which is counterclockwise. And I quote from Zetatov, Retrograde Orbit, written January 1997. The path Planet X takes between its two foci is like a train track, the path in one direction lined up in a straight line next to the path in the other direction. However, this direct path does not hold when Planet X nears one of its foci, passes, and turns around on the opposite side for the return trip. Planet X's retrograde orbit around the Sun is due to its reaction to an energy field emitted by the Sun. This energy field radiates out from the Sun intensely at certain points, like a moving arm, where the other planets are in essence swept along before this intense energy field, like dust balls in front of a broom, Planet X is not so trapped. Approaching from a distance, Planet X reacts to this energy field by trying to evade it and takes the path of least resistance. Like children skipping rope, if one jumps toward the rope, the passage of the rope happens fastest. The sweeping arm of this energy field, coming from the Sun, passes by quickly out in space, where Planet X rides at a distance, but builds in intensity and takes longer to sweep past the closer Planet X comes. When at a distance, this energy field affects Planet X but slightly, so it reacts as it approaches from its second foci on the near parallel orbit tracks that it travels upon when moving between its two foci by orbiting in the same manner planets close to the Sun do. It sweeps before this energy field as the field passes, moving slightly at these times to the left, in the same counterclockwise manner that the other planets do. As Planet X approaches, moving steadily closer and picking up speed due to the gravity tug on the Sun, the energy field from the Sun is more intense and takes longer to sweep past. Planet X's reaction to this is still a slight movement sweeping ahead of this energy field, but as the energy field passes, is then a stronger jerk backwards, away from the passing arm of the Sun's energy field. The backward reaction is due to the nature of the sweeping arm, like the cutting edge of a knife most intense at the cutting edge of the arm, but with more bulk of the energy field trailing after the cutting edge. Thus, as the sweeping arm of this energy field passes Planet X, which in no way could stay ahead of this sweeping arm at the distance that it is from the Sun, Planet X's reaction to the bulk of the energy field is longer lasting and begins to produce a retrograde orbit for its approach to the Sun. Thus, during 1995 through 1998, Planet X will drift left and up toward the ecliptic, and due to its mobility out in space, its distance from the Sun, it develops a retrograde orbit and begins to move to the right in the manner the ancients recorded. End of the quote from Zetatov. the 2001 to 2003 viewing season, when teams in France and Canada and South Africa and in the U.S. went to observatories and used an amateur CCD imaging camera to locate the inbound Planet X, it was found where the Zetas had described it. And I quote from a report dated February 7, 2001. It seems incredible, but the whole team is contacting all and every observatory in France, just sent a message. The Neuchâtel Observatory got it. They're very excited, wondering if it's a comet or a brown dwarf, through the latest coordinates you gave. I'm going to ask for further details. The daughter of the astronomer reports that they suspect a comet or a brown dwarf on the process to become a pulsar, since it emits waves. And dated April 4, 2001. On the night of April 4, 2001, I reserved the historic Clark 24-inch telescope at the Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff, Arizona, for my own private viewing. As it turns out, the telescope operator was unable to point the Clark in the direction of Orion because there was a scaffold in the way, which only the operator's supervisor was allowed to move. In any event, the operator was determined to give me my money's worth, and he opened up the McAllister telescope, a newer but smaller scope with a 16-inch mirror, built in 1963. We trained the big doohickey on the coordinates given for April 1, 2001. The operator told me he didn't see anything there. I asked if I could take a look. There were three stars, I assume they were stars, near the periphery of the viewable area, but absolutely nothing near the middle. I had asked the operator earlier if the scope would be able to see something as far away and faint as, say, Pluto. He said he had seen Pluto with the scope once before, but it was so he could only see it out of the corner of his eye. So I tried focusing on the periphery of the viewable area while directing my attention to the middle, and lo and behold, there appeared a faint blip not too far off center. I looked long and hard but wasn't sure if I was imagining it or not. I asked a friend who had come along to take a look and told him what to look for. He said he maybe saw something. I asked the operator if he would look in the same fashion. He looked carefully for a couple of minutes and confirmed what I saw. I took another look to satisfy myself, and yes, there was definitely something there. I had the operator center the telescope on the faint object so we could get the coordinates more precisely, and then I checked a third time to make sure we were talking about the same thing. We were. The elusive blip was centered now. And April 8, 2001. Me and a friend of mine made it down to the Gordon MacMillan Southam Observatory in Vancouver tonight and had what I believe was a very strange experience. I called the observatory around 7:30 and spoke to some guy and asked if it was okay to look at the object near the constellation Orion. He said there was some large pipe that had been placed in front of the observatory and was not sure if he could swing the scope around in that direction, but that we might be able to see something. He recommended coming around 8:30. When we made it there, he seemed helpful until he asked what I was looking for, and I said, possibly a comet. I had told him I had exact coordinates and that it would be about magnitude 11, diffuse, and a red filter would be helpful. He said optimal time to look would be about 9:30. He then re-enters the coordinates, which I read off again, and moved the telescope. I go to take a look. Near the center, I see nothing that I think looks like Planet X, just a couple stars. But at the very top right corner, if I move my head, I could see what appeared to be a darkish, diffuse, round spot, fairly large. I also got him to hand me a red filter, but was then not able to see even the brightest objects in my view. End of the quotes. Note in these reports, as soon as the France discovery occurred, the other observatories were put on guard against such viewing in the direction of Orion and the Zeta coordinates, and put scaffolding up to block the view. In the last viewing in Vancouver, the operator actually tried to reduce the chance of viewing by filtering out red rather than filtering for red, pretending not to understand the request. This same operator later admitted to the team member in Vancouver that they regularly watched the approach of Planet X and were aware of it. But of course, this admission was only a whispered verbal admission. As viewed from Earth, the path of Planet X was first located 11 degrees below the ecliptic in the direction of the constellation Orion, then rising to the ecliptic as it came closer to the Sun, moving in a slightly counterclockwise motion to the left as viewed from the northern hemisphere, then switching direction to move to the right in a retrograde orbit, then dropping rapidly to a 32-degree position below the ecliptic to evade the particle flow crowding. At this point, it entered the inner solar system and approached the Sun, creating a light pollution problem, so it could not be viewed from observatories. Instead, it was viewed as the second Sun on occasion. Thus, the Earth was being pushed back in her orbit as Planet X approaches the point of passage, back through the fall toward the summer position. What will the sequence of events be from now on out? And I quote from Zeta Talk, Clear Message, written January 20th, 2005. The message is clear for the hour of the shift, as by this time, due to the continuous moaning and shuddering of the Earth, and the ravages caused by the stress of crust rotation having been stopped for 5.9 days, all travel and traffic will be stopped, all communications down, the world frozen in horror, waiting for the next blow. What events are to occur during the 5.9 days of rotation stoppage are not clear, outside of what a moaning and continuously trembling Earth and the hysteria and confusion of a long day or long night will create. We have explained that water will flow from the equator to the poles, creating deceptive beaches, and that wind will smooth the air temperatures worldwide, implying strong and unusual windstorms, and by implication that the stress on the crust will find the crust snapping and adjusting as these days pass, with cities imploding, bridges and roadways and rail lines distorted, all the infrastructure of man's civilized existence rupturing, the broken link theory applied, becoming useless. The cover-up will long have since become a casualty. It is upon them and will not go away. Regardless of the degree of Earth changes, the severity of quakes, or where the waters of the oceans will go during these days, the sociology impact will be immense. Those in denial, unable to envision anything but the security of their current world, will plunge into frantic resistance, arguing with the facts, frantically going about their normal routine and insisting that all is well, attacking any who say otherwise. Others, in great numbers, will quietly go insane. Certainly, the social infrastructure will break, jobs unattended, or if attended, mistakes made. If utilities such as water and power do not falter from breaks and explosions, they will falter from lack of attention. These attempts by those who would impose martial law to claim this as terrorism will fall on deaf ears, nor will the troops required to impose this have anything on their minds other than what the import of all this on their personal lives might mean. Social disruption, the moorings asunder. What sequence of events will occur up until the severe 270-degree roll occurs, we will hold in abeyance in order to best discombobulate the establishment. They are still clinging to the notion that they will commandeer all the oil fields of the world, guarded by the U.S. military, black gold to be used as the next commodity in the future when survivors will sell their children and their freedom in order to stay warm. Black gold to run the war machines of the world, ensuring world domination to he who owns the oil fields. That Iraq is in tatters and all tapped oil fields will explode into fireballs, and all oil tanks likewise rupture and be dispersed, has not occurred to these megalomaniacs. They are still clinging to the notion that a passage might happen without the severe Earth changes we have predicted, and want their paper ownership of the world to remain intact until that notion is disproved utterly. Beach property, the solvency of banks and nations, corporate equity and the false value placed on commodities, all to retain their worth until the shores are awash and the cities in dust. Meanwhile, they lay their plans, prepare for their families, and plot how to enslave the common man whom they assume will be taken by surprise, and therefore be vulnerable. And what is the common man expecting and aware of? In every culture, in every country, there is some clue of the coming times in folklore and prophecy. In every case, this leads with the worst, descriptions of the final convulsions the earth will go through on her way to rebirth. In every case, there are signs to look for when this time draws near. In every case, there is no clear indication of the date. In this regard, Zeta Talk did not differ from what existed in folklore and prophecy, describing the hour of the shift and heralding the signs, and declining to name a date. We have described increasing weather swings of drought and deluge, switching about for seemingly no reason since 1995, and these have occurred. We have described earthquakes and volcanic activity increasing on a linear basis up until the last days, with the cover-up of this increase and lack of media attention keeping pace. And this likewise has occurred. We have described problems with maintaining satellites in the months before the pole shift, and this has become apparent to the common man, even with extensive backup systems sent aloft to guard against this. We have described what signs the common man should look for in order to time his escape to safety, and described in great detail what traps to avoid and how to prepare for the aftertime. Regardless of what sequence of events will occur between now and then, he is armed. The breaches in the sequence of events, however, are designed to disarm the establishment, who will find themselves on a level, a par, with the common man they so disdain. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Even though the Zetas are clearly holding in abeyance many details of what we can expect in order to discombobulate plans for martial law and the enslavement of mankind, they have told us much. For instance, the 270-degree roll leading to the 3 days of darkness. As Planet X approaches the point of passage, it must undergo a 270-degree roll. This is due to the way it lies along the magnetic flow lines of the Sun. The other planets, such as Earth and Mercury, which are magnetic, align with the Sun. North is up, south is down. They're side by side. This is because magnets want to either align side by side, or end to end, or along the magnetic flow lines. Remember how, as a child, you put iron filings on a glass, held a magnet beneath, and the iron filings lined up along the magnetic field flow lines? Think of the Sun as that magnet, and the planets like iron filings, as that is their proportion and relationship. Planets in the ecliptic are aligned along the Sun's magnetic flow lines, because at this point the flow lines are vertical to the Sun. North is up, south is down. But when Planet X passes so very close to the Sun, rounding the Sun's south pole, it's forced to position so that its north pole is nosing into the Sun's south pole, along the tight magnetic flow lines emanating from one of the Sun's poles. I quote from an email received in October 2004, noting that something had changed. And I quote, "On Saturday morning, October 16th, I looked from my bedroom window to view the sunrise. As the sun rose, I placed my thumb in front of the sun to block its brightness. When I did this, I was surprised to see another large sphere to the left of the sun. Could this be Planet X? While looking at your photo album, one in particular caught my attention. The one was dated August 26, 2003, from Texas, and matched exactly what I saw. The only difference is that my second sun was horizontal to the left of the sun, and in the photo, the second sun was vertical below the sun." End of the quote. In response to this email, the Zetas describe the sequence of events up to the point where the pole shift will begin. And I quote from Zeta Talk, "The dance begins, written October 19, 2004. We have, over the past several months, warned that as Planet X moved from below the Sun to the Sun's middle, the ecliptic, it would move from slinging along the magnetic flow lines curling toward the Sun's south pole to the magnetic flow lines curling out from the Sun's north pole. Magnetic particles flow along these lines, thus forcing Planet X to align with this flow. We've explained that the steps in this process are 1. Planet X first slings past the Sun's south pole with its north pole pointing toward this great intake of magnetic particles. This caused Planet X to point its south pole toward the Earth. This prevailed through the spring and summer of 2004. 2. Planet X increasingly takes an almost horizontal alignment as it rises to the ecliptic, as the magnetic flow lines, which emerge almost vertical at the poles, are almost horizontal when emerging at the middle. During this horizontal alignment, the south pole intake of Planet X points almost directly at the Earth. This has been the situation recently until the past few days, October 19, 2004. 3. Planet X then moves sideways as the path of least resistance while it switches from pointing its north pole toward the Sun to pointing its south pole toward the Sun, in keeping with the alignment of the magnetic flow lines above the ecliptic. This motion, where the blast from the north pole of Planet X will eventually point directly at Earth, will cause the Earth's north pole to point away from the Sun and Planet X, the 3 days of darkness foretold in the Bible for the Northern Hemisphere. This motion has now begun. 4. Planet X will then briefly assume a vertical position, completing its first 270-degree roll to stand upright alongside the Sun. But where Planet X will have its north pole upright, the Earth's momentum and direction will cause it temporarily to assume an almost upside-down posture, with sunrise west for some days, as folklore reports and as Islam foretells. The days of darkness and sunrise west for the Earth are accomplished by an extreme wobble, which continues until the Earth is again upright alongside Planet X and the Sun, all in side-by-side alignment. 5. It is at this point that slowing rotation begins. The Atlantic Rift, which has regularly been grabbed both at the face and dark positions vis-à-vis Planet X, directly exposed to the magnetic grab of the larger magnet, the monster Planet X. During the 270-degree roll and slowing rotation, earthquakes and volcanic activity greatly increase, as do erratic jet streams and consequent temperature extremes and storms. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. This Zeta Talk, detailing the sequence of events, was written in October 2004 and states that at that time Planet X was lying almost horizontal, its north pole pointing toward the Sun and beginning to swing its north pole toward the Earth. The Zetas were recently asked on a live radio show how far this 270-degree roll had progressed and pronounced it around 28 degrees if one considers that pointing its north pole toward Earth would be 180 degrees. And I quote from this Zeta Talk, written April 21st, 2006. The North Pole is not yet pointing to the right. It's no longer pointing toward the Sun's south pole, and is certainly not yet pointing toward us. You'd know it if it were. We'd be leaning to the left and into the 3 days of darkness that we've predicted. We would state it's currently at about 28 degrees. This does not mean that the pace is going to remain as slow as it has been. We've been talking about the slow 270-degree roll for some time. This is not an equal pace. This picks up at some point, with the North Pole swinging away from the Sun and up, and attempting to align with the Sun's magnetic field, north to south. There are many factors in how quickly it moves. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Recall that the 270-degree roll is 180 in place while lying horizontally, just swinging its north pole from pointing at the Sun to pointing away from the Sun and toward Earth. Then Planet X suddenly stands upright, north pole up, south pole down. But before this upright position happens, the 3 days of darkness and sunrise west must occur. As the North Pole of Earth is pushed away during this 270-degree roll, those on the northern hemisphere find they cannot see the sun during the day. The day is lit, but the sun ball does not rise above the horizon. Some quotes from the Catholics on the 3 days of darkness. The sources are the Blessed Anna Maria, the Padre Pio in Italy, Pierre Lamy in France, Elizabeth Cannon Mori in Rome, St. Hildegard in Germany, Marie Martel in Normandy, and many more. The impending signs will be increasing violent disturbances on land, at sea and in the air, earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, windstorms, cloudbursts, breaking of dams, overflowing of streams and seas, huge tsunamis, floods, unusual accidents taking many lives, famines, epidemics, destruction, destitution, failure of crops. Water and crops will change, becoming more polluted and less nourishing. Revolutions, downfall of governments, dissension, wars, confusion in high places, lack of respect for authority, treachery, corruption, brutalities, atrocities, immorality, lack of charity, heartlessness, indifference and lack of concern for our neighbors, people turning against each other. A cross will appear in the sky. All will see it, but some will reject it. It will be a sign that the final events are near. And the immediate signs. The night will be bitterly cold. The wind will howl and roar. Then will come lightning, thunderbolts, earthquakes. The stars and heavenly bodies will be disturbed and restless. There will be no light, but total blackness. Hurricanes of fires will rain forth from the heaven and spread over all the earth. Fear will seize mortals at the sight of these clouds of fire, and great will be their cries of lamentation. Many godless will burn in the open fields like withered grass. 75% of the earth's population will be lost. End of the quotes. These Catholic visions mention the total blackness, no light, then describe the hour of the pole shift when firestorms can occur, and the massive die-off expected as a result of the pole shift. Per the Zetas, the 3 days of darkness occur when the north pole of Earth is first pushed away as Planet X revolves in place, swinging its north pole temporarily toward the Earth. Per the Zetas, this then proceeds to a point where the Earth overreacts, almost tipping over in space, thus giving sunrise the appearance of rising from the west. Islam describes 6 days of sunrise west, which is related, and I quote, "The rising of the sun from the west is one of the things which must happen." This from the 12th Iman. "The hour will not be established till the sun rises from the west." This from the Hadiths. End of the quotes. Plato also heard it from the Egyptians, because the earth continues to rotate during the brief tipping over, almost to an upside-down posture. It would appear that rotation had changed directions. And I quote from the Politicus by Plato. "At certain periods, the universe has its present circular motion, and at other periods, it revolves in the opposite direction. There is at that time great destruction of animals in general, and only a small part of the human race survives." In the Talmud it is said, 7 days before the deluge, the Holy One changed the primal order, and the sun rose in the west and set in the east. End of the quote. Moving ever closer, and now twisting the earth in a magnetic grip so it tips away from the sun, and then almost stands on its head briefly during the 6 days of darkness, a gravity attraction has come into play. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Equilibrium, written December 2000. "Other than perturbing toward Orion, the direction of the inbound planet X, by all the planets in the solar system, there is little steady evidence that planet X exists. But as it begins its passage in the few short years prior to its passage, Palpable changes are evident. The Earth's core is heating up, the plates jiggling into a lock so that quakes in one ricochet into the neighboring plate, and volcanic activity increasing as the core of the Earth swirls about. Europa, one of Jupiter's moons, is noted to be heating up, too. How can an object so distant affect the planets and moons? Human theories about the motion of the planets in their orbit, their placement, are based on theories that have little basis in fact, all slung into positions when the solar system first formed, and motion and centrifugal force are holding it all in place. This is nonsense, as we have explained, and man's theories fail to account for the vast majority of factors that actually hold the motion of the suns and the solar system in place in an equilibrium established coming out of any local Big Bang. Mankind has faint explanation for why all the planets line up in the ecliptic, though this clearly is a flow of particles and the planets are in the backwash. Earth's magnetic field does not point in the direction it does by accident, nor does the field simply encompass Earth. It goes far beyond the solar system into several nearby systems and beyond. Gravity, which holds the planets close to their sun, but also keeps them apart by the repulsion force, is little understood by man who failed to understand this phenomena in the context of a particle flow. They are still clinging to the theory without basis that the sun has magnetic reversals, as this is an explanation for why wandering poles are evident on the crust of the Earth when pole shifts are the obvious explanation, and Hapgood long ago presented this. Thus they cannot conceive of an equilibrium in the solar system being out of touch as they are with so many basic issues. When Planet X is riding the midpoint of its orbit, the equilibrium exists. When it begins to approach, several particle flows are changed, and as these particle flows envelop and influence Earth and the other planets in the system, these changes become evident. Gravity and magnetic particles are only a couple of the flows affected, however. Now, in any given equilibrium, change is noticed when equilibrium is taken for granted. Thus, the fact that the Earth rotates, has X temperature in its core, points in X directions, is taken as normal. When its temperature raises, this is noticed and commented upon. Why would the temperature not raise when the core is pulled in more than one direction, has more activity, and thus is exuding more heat particles? Magnetic diffusion is another change noticed, but this is easily explained in the context of yet another magnetic planet coming closer, so that magnetic particles are flowing more here, less there, in the vicinity of Earth. Thus, it's not so much what causes every change upon the approach of Planet X, as it is a mystery of why mankind is astonished. He is asleep on his assumptions, and only waking when they move about. Thus, the approach of Planet X is evidenced by changes in the solar system because the equilibrium is being changed, the status quo affected, when it moves from a virtual standstill midway in its path to begin a passage. This equilibrium should be viewed as a net reaching out into the universe, encompassing not only a local solar system but a galaxy. Why do the galaxies stay where they are? This is not a local affair. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Here's an example of the confusion humans have over gravity. And I quote from an article in the BBC, August 2002, Earth's Middle Getting Fatter? The changes are very, very slight. Scientists have known for some time that the Earth is not a perfect sphere. It's shaped a little like a pumpkin, wider at the middle and narrower at the poles. It's a difference of more than 20 kilometers. But now a new research published in the journal Science suggests our planet is getting even wider, if only by the odd millimeter. The scientists behind the report based their findings on space-based observations from past 25 years. Since the early 1980s, satellite laser ranging studies that have been used to work out the planet's gravity field have demonstrated how the Earth has lost a bit of its pumpkin look. It has actually become slightly more spherical. This has been put down to a rebound effect in the mantle, a thick layer of nearly molten rock between the Earth's crust and its core, following the loss of the heavy mass of ice at the poles after the last ice age. But the scientists say their work suggests this trend reversed abruptly about 4 years ago. They are doubtful that phenomena such as further glacial melting or atmospheric changes can explain the rapid turnabout. Instead, they suggest two possibilities. One is that changes in ocean circulation have shifted a large mass of water toward the equatorial region. The other is that there has been a shift in mass at the boundary between the Earth's fluid outer core and the mantle. Further studies will be required to work out what's really happening. The scientists say that any increase on the Earth's girth is of the order of millimeters and may even be imperceptible given the rather technical way these things are monitored. It depends on where the effect is, because it's measured in terms of a change in the shape of the gravity field. If it's in the ocean, it may be a few millimeters, but if in the core, there could be no apparent change in the actual shape of the Earth. End of the quote. So this change was first noted in 1998, about the time Planet X was zooming into the inner solar system, starting its path, coming closer. The Zetas have described the point of passage when Planet X pierces the ecliptic in terms of a triangle, the angle at the Sun, the Earth, and Planet X. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Entry Angle, written August 1995. Planet X will come into the Earth's orbital plane, not directly between the Sun and the Earth, but forward, somewhat closer to the approach of Planet X. The Earth, Sun, and Planet X will thus form a triangle in the Earth's orbital plane, with a 23-degree angle at Earth, an 18-degree angle at the Sun, and a 139-degree angle at Planet X. It's at this point, essentially, that Planet X is closest to the Earth, as with the angle of entry into the Earth's orbital plane being 32 degrees at this point, Planet X essentially dives up through the Earth's orbital plane and quickly passes on. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. This Zeta Talk triangle places Planet X slightly to the side of the Earth, not directly between the Earth and the Sun, though close to that point. Folklore states that Planet X comes from the direction of the Sun, seeming to be a dragon rising in the sunlight, streaming through the dust cloud that surrounds Planet X. That this is the predictable location of Planet X, always coming from the Sun, is because the Earth is caught in the cup, an eddy flow, in front of Planet X and not going round and round the Sun, as has been evident since December 25, 2003, when the Earth halted in her orbit. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Where's Planet X?, written February 2005. People are astonished when we say, and seem to be saying, month after month, it's right next to the Sun. It's coming around the Sun. It's between the Earth and the Sun. But in fact, in December of 2003, when the Earth, trucking along in her orbit, encountered this body coming into its orbit, Planet X, it stopped the way you would if you discovered an elephant in your driveway, and that was the only way you could pass. Well, why couldn't the Earth just sneak around? Because there are particle flows, as we have described, immense numbers of particles that create a block, and there's crowding. Planets are swept along in their orbits and stay at a distance from each other where they are comfortable with the particles that go into and out of the Sun. So Planet X creates a big disturbance in the equilibrium, a crowding of particles around it, behind it, so that the Earth is caught in the cup. Nancy has described this as a stick in the river where you can see the water flow around it on either side, creating a little ridge, a cup in the water in front of that stick. And sometimes you'll have something bobbling in the water in that cup. It doesn't go down the river, it's stuck in that cup. This is where the Earth is, stuck in the cup, and Planet X is that stick causing ripples in the particle flows that create the cup. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The Earth is scuttling back in her orbit to try to avoid Planet X as it marches forward. This has placed Planet X to the right of the Sun, as viewed from the Northern Hemisphere lately. It's not directly between the Earth and the Sun, but is beginning to form the Zeta Talk triangle. The 270-degree roll is primarily magnetic, but at the end of the roll, approaching the point of passage, it became gravitational also. Planet X actually pulls the Earth toward it, and thus closer to the Sun. And I quote from ZetaTalk, Tilting, Leaning, and Dropping, written February 2004. What does this triangle say about a drama about to occur? We have stated variously that Planet X would come to within 14 million miles of Earth during its passage, and elsewhere that it would pierce the ecliptic, approximately midway between Earth and Sun, and recently that the Earth would draw nearer the Sun during the drama, both because of increased gravity giants on one side, and because of the magnetic grip of Planet X upon the hapless Earth. Thus, the ZetaTalk triangle shows Planet X closer to the Earth than a midway point, as the Earth will move in. End of the quote from ZetaTalk. So where are we now in the spring of 2006? Earth is being pushed back in her orbit, back into the fall position. Planet X has rounded the south pole of the Sun and is chasing the Earth back in her orbit as it swings through. Planet X has started its 270-degree roll, is approximately 28 degrees round in this process. So it's appearing to the right of the Sun as viewed from the Earth. And Earth is attempting to escape by scooting to the left. As the 270-degree roll proceeds, the tail will increasingly point toward the Earth, bringing red dust and fireballs. This will ultimately culminate in the 3 days of darkness, 6 days of sunrise west, rotation stoppage, and the pole shift. And I quote from ZetaTalk, Dead On and Deadly, written April 3, 2006. Since the Earth encountered Planet X in her orbit on December 25, 2003, her orbit has stalled, as she encountered an elephant in the road at this point and could not pass. Planet X has been plunging toward the Sun, rapidly entering the solar system in the short years prior to 2003, at a speed close to the speed of light. As Planet X approached the Sun in early 2003, brilliant second sun sightings and photos were possible because the Earth was on the opposite side of the Sun from the approaching Planet X, and thus sunlight was reflected off the dust cloud and bounced back toward Earth. Then came the encounter with Planet X in Earth's orbit, and things changed. Sunlight now was seen at its back, bouncing back toward the Sun, and visibility of this dust cloud-shrouded planet changed from brilliant and dramatic second sun sightings to puzzlement. Like an object in a fog bank, it was lost to view except for those times when its swirling tail and moons caught sunlight and deflected this to Earth. Evidence of the presence of Planet X in the inner solar system, slowly passing the south pole of the Sun, was reduced to taking the pulse of the Earth herself. Increased earthquakes, volcanic activity, and Earth wobble evident to those astute enough to take note, and erratic weather accompanying the wobble. The eddy flow created by particles flowing from the Sun and hence round the sides of Planet X trapped the Earth in her stalled orbit and held her there in front of Planet X. No escape. As Planet X proceeded past the Sun's south pole in his sling orbit, he went within the orbit of Venus and thus likewise trapped Venus in this eddy flow cup when she came round in her orbit to encounter Planet X. The Earth's dark twin, sharing an orbit with Earth, joined this group of trapped planets within months, remaining behind the Earth, likewise stalled in their shared orbit, a dark hunk of black rock reflecting little light and thus essentially invisible to man. This has been the setup throughout 2004 and into 2005, the rapid plunge of Planet X toward the Sun countered by the repulsion force into a slow creep past the Sun. This is not a static condition, however. Caught in the eddy flow cup, Venus and Earth and her dark twin are pushed backwards in their orbits as Planet X progresses in its retrograde sling orbit past the Sun. For those who think this would result in horrific trauma on Earth, We point to what causes orbits in the first place, the gentle nudge from the sweeping arms of the sun causing all the planets in the solar system to move in the same direction, counterclockwise, around the sun. Orbits are not sacred. They are composed of planets bobbling in particle flows and nudged into momentum when these particle flows have force and direction. Orbits can move in one direction or another without impact on the planets, which are passive during this process. We've described the point where Planet X pierces the ecliptic, moving from alignment with the sun's magnetic field where the lines go into the sun's south pole to alignment with the magnetic field where the lines come out from the sun's north pole as a time of 270 degree roll for Planet X. It turns in place 180 degrees to point its north pole away from the sun's south pole, then stands upright at the ecliptic, and later does another 270 degree roll while adjusting to the magnetic flow lines coming out from the sun's north pole. Lately, it's been noted that Planet X appears slightly to the right of the sun when sighted or captured on film. We explained that during the 270 degree roll, the north pole of Planet X swings around according to the retrograde rotation of Planet X, clockwise, and thus the hose of magnetic particles coming from the north pole of Planet X emerges on the right side. This causes Earth to scuttle even faster backwards in her orbit to the left to escape this hose of magnetic particles. This is where we are today in the spring of 2006. For those who say that such maneuvers of Earth would be apparent, announced loudly by astronomers, we point to the many observations that things are not normal and the obvious cover-up against admission that Planet X is in the inner solar system to dampen panic in the populace. Just why do you suppose Bush is frantic to be sitting on all the world's oil fields at this time, if not that he realizes the pole shift is around the corner? To prevent such panic as might allow Bush to declare martial law, we and other benign aliens tweak the planets and the moon for key events like an eclipse to simulate normalcy and tip the globe to simulate the seasons, giving the appearance of apparent precision in astrophysics. What comes next? Early in the Zeta Talk saga, we described the Zeta Talk triangle, the relationship between the Earth, Sun, and Planet X, when Planet X pierces the ecliptic. This Zeta Talk triangle was featured in July 2003 in dual Wisconsin crop circles, a move that was made by ourselves and others in support of a beleaguered Nancy who had suffered through our white lie regarding the May 15, 2003 date. What puzzled many was the placement of Planet X to the right of the Sun, when we likewise had described the pole shift as occurring when Planet X stands between the Earth and the Sun, supplanting the Sun's dominance as the largest magnet in the solar system. Based on our more recent description of the 270-degree roll and the Earth scuttling to the left to avoid the hose of magnetic particles, this triangle can be fitted into the larger equation. At the point the ecliptic is pierced, Planet X has pointed its north pole away from the Sun and toward Earth. Earth reacts by leaning its north pole away into the 3 days of darkness predicted for the northern hemisphere. Prior to this, as the north pole of Planet X is swinging around, the Earth falls on its side, as we have described, the north pole of Earth to the left in the extreme, thence rolling into the 3 days of darkness as Planet X points its north pole directly at Earth. This is a rapid and highly dramatic time for Earth, lasting but days at each stage. But what are the months leading into this drama? Earth scuttles back in her orbit. Planet X is seen to the right of the Sun, and increasingly coming closer and appearing larger, and unmistakably not as a solar flare or sundog. And the Earth falls to her side, little by little. This makes for a lopsided arc of the Sun across the sky during the day, the Sun not where expected, hardly something the pat excuse for the Earth changes, global warming, could accomplish. During the slow 270 degree roll, Planet X is steadfastly moving closer to the Earth. It not only appears larger in the sky, it has a steadily stronger grip on the Atlantic Rift and the poles, creating a stronger and more violent wobble. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. That concludes our broadcast. Thank you for being with us. Remember to carry love in your heart. It's the commodity of the future. As the Zetas say, love may have a blooming going into the shift, as it ought. Those with great love in their hearts responding to the realization that little else matters.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.